This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. There's news today. Drug maker Purdue Pharma and its owners, the Sackler family, will pay $270 million to settle a lawsuit brought by the Oklahoma Attorney General. The suit targets the company over its role in the deadly opioid epidemic and its aggressive marketing of opioid painkillers like OxyContin. Marketing has been a big part of our country's drug history, both for and against drugs. Think anti-drug public service announcements, or PSAs. That's one of the topics in the latest season of our podcast, The Uncertain Hour, which just came out. And while the government has spent over $1 billion on anti-drug PSAs since the 1980s, Marketplace's Peter Balanon-Rosen reports those ads may be memorable for the wrong reason.
If the idea of anti-drug PSAs brings to mind an image of an egg in a frying pan, you're not alone. This 1987 ad from Partnership for a Drug-Free America is a bit of a poster child.
This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
That became sort of iconic, but I know that it's also been widely parodied.
That's Michael Ludwig, professor of health education at Hofstra University. Starting with Nancy Reagan's Just Say No campaign, TV viewers in the 80s were blitzed with anti-drug PSAs, like McGruff the Crime Dog and A Chorus of Children singing that drug users are losers. Okay, kinda laughable today. These types of ads, though, they didn't work. In fact, some ads had a forbidden fruit effect. They made teens even more curious.
When you advertise against it, you may also be inadvertently advertising for it.
Ludwig says these PSAs also broadcast cultural messages about who uses and sells drugs.
I saw there was one where there was a young black male who was suggesting, hey, kids, get your mom and dad out of the room.
Hey, little dude, send your mom and daddy out of the room. I gotta get you up on this.
As he talks about the various drugs that he had for sale, he morphs from a young black man into literally a snake.
Now, some folks will tell you that I'm dealing in poison, but hey, do I look like the kind of guy that would do that to a kid like you?
Charlton McElwain is an associate professor at New York University who specializes in race and media.
I'm getting a message of fear, but what I'm seeing is an image of blackness.
He says that's not just offensive, that's harmful. And
in subtle ways gives us license to treat people like animals. And that's precisely what you saw throughout the crack war, looking at African-Americans primarily as its target.
Money spent in the 80s on those ads was a waste.
That's Keith Humphreys, a former drug policy advisor to Presidents Bush and Obama. Those ads, he says, were basically lectures saying,
you shouldn't use drugs because authority figures have told you not to. Now be a good boy or a good girl and do what you're told. No adolescent wants to hear that.
So anti-drug messaging in the 90s and 2000s got scarier, more graphic, saying, fine, if you do abuse drugs, here are the dire consequences. Today, Arizona is spending $400,000 on an anti-opioid social media campaign. It has two horror movie-themed ads with teens trapped inside a pill.
Opioids. Getting in is easier than getting out.
Sheila Scholander, assistant director at the Arizona Department of Health Services, says incarcerated teens help design the ads.
It's those scarier messages that show those graphic consequences.
But here's the thing. In 2016, the federal government evaluated different research into anti-alcohol, tobacco, and drug messaging, and found fear tactics pretty ineffective. Going full-blown scary might work on teens already unlikely to use, but for others, it leads them to tune out. Today, there's a reason we don't see too many national anti-drug PSAs. The media budget for the government office funding those ads was axed in 2012 after years of criticism its ads were ineffective, which leaves nonprofits and states to take up the PSA helm. Again, here's Keith Humphreys, who says some states are reaching for a different playbook.
Just give people factual bits of information that are helpful to them.
Like what to do if you're struggling with addiction or tips on preventing overdoses. Because teens are teens, and once you start telling them what to do, that's when they start tuning out. I'm Peter Balanon-Rosen for Marketplace.